his main gifting is one of a prophet. And he's got more than one gift, but a lot of times when he starts speaking, he speaks in prophetic language or prophetic terms, and the ability to go, that sounded right, but I'm not really sure what was just said, happens occasionally. And I believe that the Holy Spirit can put a draw on that gift for us today as a body. But I also believe that there are things that you can hear, and if you're open to receive them, God will unpack them for you later. Because that's a lot of times what happens. I mean, biblically speaking, there were people who prophesied some pretty profound things that God didn't unpack for hundreds of years. Yeah. And people go, now why would a guy named Cyrus just randomly be mentioned? And why would someone coming on a donkey, a colt, be mentioned? And nobody knew what those things meant, and it was just sort of in there and received. And I'm not saying, that he's going to preach or he's going to prophesy new scripture. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that the prophetic spirit, when it flows, sometimes you go, I'm not really sure. And then later you go, oh, this is that. And so I just feel, because most of the time I hang out with Timothy and whatnot, it's like he isn't necessarily always sure that what he just said was prophetic. He just said it, and then all of a sudden you go, you have no idea. And he goes, what? I just, you know. And so because he's just like you and I, just a vessel trying to yield to God. And so we're going to receive him this morning and welcome him, and then we're going to pray over him. So let's welcome Timothy today. And you guys just, if you would, just you can stretch your hands out here, just agree in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this beloved brother and friend and God's servant. And Lord, today we just thank you, Lord. We don't look to him. We look to you to flow through him. God, we put a draw on those things that you've deposited within him. And Father, we just thank you for this relationship, God. We thank you, Father, for your great love that flows in and through this family. And God, we just acknowledge and welcome you to do what you desire to do here, God, through this willing vessel today. And we bless you as we bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. I would like to introduce my wife, Lori. Come on, stand up. There's a lot of folks here that don't know you. And my daughter, Amber, number 9. And this is Kylie Joy. She's 10. Amber is 14. We have a large family. And Lori and I have 9 children together, and we have 10 total. And we are wrecked, honestly. Early in my marriage, I wasn't a very patient person, and I asked the Lord for patience, and then I had 7 daughters. And that was the beginning of a major disruption in my life. And it was the most glorious thing that could happen to a person, because you don't really realize it when it's going on. You just think, oh my gosh, what have I done? Right? In life, you say yes, and then disruption happens, and you think to yourself, did I really ask for this? So I just want to say to young people, be careful what you ask for, because it probably will happen. You know, it's really funny about the graciousness of God, because a lot of times you'll pray for something that's not even godly, and he'll end up giving it to you, and you'll say, can you take it back now? And he's like, yeah, you just yield and then hand it back to me. And what's so beautiful about it is in life, no matter where you come from and where you're headed, there's not one thing that you've passed through that goes to waste. Every bit of it brings an etching that reveals a new level of the kindness of God. And I have to honestly say, every time I come here, it's very difficult for me to stand up, because at the end of the worship, I've got pieces of me all over this building. I'm serious. I travel in the spirit, and I see and I listen and I hear God brag about you guys during the entire worship service. I mean, he's just bragging about you over and over and over again. And the Lord said to say to you that there is a fortress. Let all the world know there is a fortress in Springfield, Illinois. Did you hear me? God's screaming this. He said, tell all the world there is a high tower, a fortress in Springfield, Illinois. I have a capital city that bears my name, that honors me, that has sought and contended for the revealing of Jesus. O army of Gideon, O little man, the Lord says, you have many enemies, but don't worry, I've defeated everyone. In fact, the ones that are coming to seek and destroy you, the Lord says, I've already answered them with a shout. Well, you know, which is really cool about that is you don't even have to know who they are. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret. Oh, there are enemies that hate us? Yeah. It comes down to this one thing. You are the high tower of God. Why do you think it's so difficult to struggle against independence to be part of something that's greater than you? It's a struggle to put yourself before the Lord and gaze at him. It's a struggle to overcome distraction to see him. It's a struggle because our culture is bent toward independence. The very sin in the garden twisted the truth that caused Eve and Adam to lean to their own wisdom and the wisdom of what the twisted word was. You can have your own identity. I am amazed at God giving me the opportunity to have my own identity and then giving me the grace to say, that's not what I want. Because the worst thing that could happen to a person is say, I don't want to know what the identity of God is. I just want what I want. And really, life is about this one thing. It's yielding. And God brings disruption. He allows disruption to occur. In the beauty of the unfolding, life, death, surrender, and then disruption comes and it levels the playing field so that new growth can come. And you know, they slash and burn the fields to prepare the ground for a new harvest, a new planting and a new harvest. So I want to share a dream that I had with you guys. But I want to say this. As I was sitting down to prepare and just listening to Lord, I wrote pages of things the Lord just kept bragging about you all over and over and over. And I kept thinking to myself, I can't write enough fast enough about how God's bragging about you. And you know, you look around the room and you don't see a lot of people. I mean, I don't think we understand really the currency of God. It's the kingdom plan is where two or three are gathered. There I am in the midst. He's the conqueror of the universe. It's this one that's riding in the white horse to sweep away all filth and all evil. And you are way more than three people. But the magnitude and the glory that has been revealed here, sown here, contended for and applied is vast and it's deep. If you look to the natural for your natural understanding to be edified in that, you'll miss it. It's a spiritual sight. And seeing that coming here after 3 or 4 years, I may be a prophet, but I might just be a prophet to this house, maybe no other. Right, that's good. And what an honor it is, but my point is this, is that what I've seen is a display of a people who are relentless at worshiping God. Relentless. You haven't given up because God's put something inside of all of us that is equal to himself, and what is love? Love is the conquering thing that's the trump card of every other revelation that will ever come, because revelations will come and understandings will change and things will be deposited and gifts will arise. But if it isn't birthed in love and maintained in love, you have nothing. Because where love is, God is in the midst, because God is love. And we can't overlook that. We can't overlook that thing for the next thing, saying, what's next, God? What's next thing? He's like, I want you to practice this. My gosh. And, you know, anybody that's ever listened to me before, it's like, you know, the real word that I have is about the thing that's inside of you. It's about the secret place. And your whole life becomes defined by a deep thirst that God puts in the human heart that has to be met in the secret place, and that it defines your entire life because it's significant, the presence that comes with the thirsty heart. If this is too fast, please find out how you can listen to this. But the reality is that the further away you've been, the more destructive you've been, the deeper God has plowed your life is the deepest well that exists. We're looking for good people to receive Jesus, and Jesus is saying, I want the bad people. We are learning to live by the Spirit. It's not a CD and a t-shirt at the conference. I mean, that helps. Learning to live in the Spirit is yielding in the face of failure and doing it by myself, for myself, over and over again. And then all of a sudden I ask the Lord the right question. Why is this not working? And then I get to see what I'm looking at. And too often, and more than not, what I'm doing is I'm focused on how I'm doing and how I'm looking. And there's my soul. My soul is in tension with the life of the Spirit. My soul wants to take control of my image. There's a part of me that's been fashioned from my past, and it's wounded. And the Lord's like, the renewing of the spirit of the mind is what sets the soul behind your spirit. Where I'm led with my spirit, and my mind is renewed because the Spirit of truth is in me, rising up to embrace the word that heals all that I am and entices me into a place of surrender. I'm just saying, this is my introduction. I'm sorry. You're all sitting there nice and quiet. I love it. I'm no preacher, and you know that about me. I might do my best work one-on-one. That's really who I am. I do. I have some things to say. So I'll start with this dream. I have some things to declare. And I'm always chased by that clock. That thing right there is an enemy. Really, that's my nemesis right there, that little clock with those 12 numbers on there. There's 12 numbers, right? Okay, where was I? Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, the word. Okay, the dream. So the dream is So I'm having this dream, and the dream is I'm with Justin Ford, and I'm with Scott, and I'm in the, I don't know, I'm in Springfield. And, you know, I've traveled somewhere, and all of a sudden I meet Justin, and Justin's just has the Justin look on his face. If any of you know Justin, just has that look on his face like he's kind of just like, you know, he's not super happy, but he's not disappointed either. And it's the Justin look. And so all of a sudden, I meet up with Scott, and Scott's like, he just walks away, and he's walking, and he goes, steps into the new building. And I visited your new building, by the way, and I actually haven't been there in the physical realm. But, and that's not bragging. I'm just, this is a dream. So I walk in, and all of a sudden, I look around, and there's a color in this building, and it is the most glorious, like, royal. It's a color of purity and worship, is all I know. And it was like, I looked around, and the carpet, the chairs, the equipment, there wasn't one thing in this building that had not been touched by the glory. It was like painted on there thick. I mean, like, I was looking around going, do they know how to paint another color? I'm walking through the building going, this is spooky. I mean, it was spooky because I looked around, I thought, oh, wow, single focus decorator, you know. Really? It was eerie, and Justin's like, yeah, see what we're dealing with? Scott's white. Scott's gone. He's up there doing something. I'm walking through, and the trim on the walls and stuff, it looked like it had been, like, burnt. Like, there had been fire in this building. Your new building isn't the building. Your new building is an upgrade of you. The building just contains you in the material matter of the moment of this, you know, it's like time. But who you are and what you carry is an eternal proclamation of the glory of God. It's like stamped and branded. It's like a color that has been tested. And it's the Lord has been proven faithful there. So I saw the fire in the building, and I realized y'all been in a fire. So fire can represent many things. But I knew that you had been through a fire that was disruptive. And that was the loss of Andrew. But I heard the Lord through this time, and I know that we are embracing a time of mourning, you know. But life, he has conquered death. And I was in Andrew's house. I went to Andrew's house and visited his home and his lovely family. His presence was there. I don't mean that in a weird, prophetic, dead way. I mean, I'm talking about he was there. His anointing, his leadership, his fathering, his stamp, his print, his DNA, all of it was there. And the Lord says, I will take this and go in a good way. As in, I am not done. Tell all the world that I have a fortress in Springfield, Illinois. I don't know that you know, or I even know, the magnitude of how amazing that is when God says that to you. Because I've never heard that before in my entire life, anywhere I've been, and I've been lots of places. Do you realize what a capital city does? That's where the government is. They tried to move the capital. They tried to take it somewhere else. They try to abandon the mansion. This is the true mansion of Springfield, Illinois. The body of Christ, you know, the turbulence of the church, the waves, the distance, the difficulty, the men, it's all changing. It's all going to change. The Lord is doing a work in the hearts of individuals where we are learning to yield in a new capacity of leadership. We are looking at our wives and our children. We're saying, you are the glory carrier of the next generation. I am making room for you. I am raising you up. I am not abandoning you. I am giving you everything you need as a father so that you will inherit the glory of God. I'm not retiring. I'm stepping out of the way and giving you the ability as a young man and young woman to inherit the things that the fathers have sown in the spirit. The only danger here is if you go your own way and you do your own thing. That is the sin in the garden. Check it out. The only danger here is you decide, I don't want to do that. It's so funny. I asked the Lord, he just said this to me just minutes ago. He said, you know why a person sins? Because they don't know the value of who they are. Do you know why we wander? Because we haven't understood completely the revelation of God's love of directly related to you belong to me. So we waver and we foil in the wind. I'm going to tell you how big this love is. That does not matter to him. Because when he finds you asking that question, will you make me yours? Can I really be with you? He releases the place of his real revelation of identity, and it's, you've always been mine. See, when a person finds the value of God, they realize that God is no longer upset. You know, the pleasure that I enjoy with the Lord is because I finally figured out that he's not mad at me. As much wandering and difficulty and things that I've chosen to do and beat myself up. So in this dream, let me just say this. The disruption that has occurred is the initiator of a new level of glory. Did you hear that? See, in our temporal and our carnal understanding, we'll think, wow, are we ever going to really recover from this? It's the doorway and the threshold into a new realm of surrender and beauty. And it makes the struggle perfect. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm tired of struggling. So as I was thinking about this and writing some things down, I kept coming back to this one thing. And it has to do with the statement I made about you are the high place of God. And when disruption happens in our hearts, it comes in and fragments a portion of our identity that we've hung on to. And it causes us to reel back on our heels. And it defines where we've had our hope, where we've had our energy and our time and our resources, and where we have held on to weariness, or we've been riddled by weariness. And it's at that desperate moment when real transition is really happening. That's when the tension is the greatest, and the potential for destruction is even greater than at that moment. And God's in our vulnerability at that moment is when the Lord does his best work. We all want it instantaneous. But there's a process of a reality and a shift from a physical, material sight to an eternal, spiritual sight in your spirit, where you begin to live out of your spirit and no longer allow your soul and the woundedness of who we were or what we think of ourselves to lead us and control us. Because we're really not ours, and that's a good thing. Do you know what I mean? family is the highest calling in the earth. We think of great ministries and ministers and prophets and apostles, and all those things are great. But what God designed in the family is to release eternal love forever. Because when love comes, all those other things are finished. Because those were just steps in the ladder to the highest place of vision. And the highest place of vision is being rooted in family, tied to the Father and the Son and the nurturing Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There, the man and the woman and the prospering of the children for eons continue on, and then the name of the Lord is revered. Nothing can come in and steal that. Nothing can squeak its way in, because it's completely basted and painted. Every area of the place, the high place of God, is completely painted with his entire presence, and it's been scorched by fire. It's been scorched by the beauty of God, and it says that you say in your spirit, it is well with my soul. Do you think for a moment the enemy could breathe in there? Life in God is like squeezing out all the things that want to steal your you. Told you I'm no preacher, so I'm going to lull you to sleep maybe. I asked the Lord, you know, what does the dream mean? And I mean, it became self-interpreted. I was really disturbed by it at first. I thought they had a fire. Oh my gosh. Then I realized it's the fire of disruption, but it's also brought by the glory. And I'm not negating the fact that we're going to go through hard things, and we're never supposed to go through hard stuff. I mean, I hope you hear me saying this is a sober moment. But I'm here to say there's no new thing. What you've been set to do, you're doing it. See, in the revelation of leadership, God's transitioning the church from a world corporate mentality to an integrated ideal family. That was what was demonstrated to us in the early church. And Jesus demonstrated it by going from home to home, hanging out with people who were of non-noble purpose. Right? Think about the time when Lazarus died and Jesus is in the house and they're all, you know, his mother's upset with him. There's a family relationship that was disappointed. His mother was disappointed in Jesus because he was hanging out with a bunch of people that didn't really matter to her. And Lazarus died, and then Jesus comes out and says, don't you know that this is for the revealing of the glory of God? The pattern that Jesus sets disrupts our typical traditional value, where we begin to understand what the kingdom value really is. It's not what I do alone. It's what we do together. That's the kingdom value. And I want to say to you guys, it's like your labors, your injuries, your glories, your successes, all of those are like a beautiful aroma to the Lord. And I would say this job that you're doing, that this unity that you've demonstrated, I'm completely, utterly floored by it. Being back in among you again, watching it in the spirit, it's absolutely amazing. Look at it with the eyes of your heart and your spirit. Don't look at each other and how you might rub against one another at times. That's typical, right? And not unnecessary. I'm going to read to you out of an amplified version. This is the Mirror Bible. Where did it go? Here it goes. Can y'all stand? Would that just stand and pray with me for a minute? Father, we just exalt your name. We thank you for each individual anointing, Lord, for every person here. It doesn't matter, great or small, no junior Holy Spirits. Father, we just pray now. We pray now for a widespread understanding. I ask, Lord, for the gift of communication to communicate, Lord, what it is that you're trying to say to us in this midst of this transition that we find ourselves in called the Bride of Christ. So, Lord, we open our hearts and our hands, our minds and our spirits to you. We ask, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Show us the way. Thank you for the preparation. God, I ask now, put the keys in the lock and let us see what you see and perceive what you perceive. Amen. This is the 1 Corinthians 13. This is speaking in tongues is not the point. Love is. It's neither angelic eloquence nor the mastery of human language that persuades. It doesn't matter how poetic, prophetic, or profound I might sound. My conversation is reduced to the hollow noise of clanging brass cymbals if love echo is absent. Well, that sounds like my preaching. I could predict the future in detail and have every word of knowledge for everyone. I could possess amazing faith, prove it over and over again by bringing down the mountains. It doesn't make me any more important than anyone else. Love is who you are. You're not defined by your gifts or your deeds. My words, you're defined by the word of the Lord. This is not the distant word. God's made this very personal. Do you understand when he says, hey, you got some enemies out there, but I've already taken care of that. Wink, wink. It's very personal to the Lord. And I think more than not, when we view ourselves through our wounded lens, we don't allow the love of God to really penetrate us. So what happens is we distance ourselves. Our natural reaction is to run, is to separate. I perfected that. I'm a sprinter. I'm a wanderer. I actually wander and sprint at the same time. Does anybody with me on that? I mean, who really just loves yourself and you just can't wait to be alone so you can hear your own thoughts? I can't think of a worse thing in life than to hear what I want to say. So here, think about this for a minute. There's 720 hours a month. Every hour of the day, 24 hours a day, 30 days a month, there's 720. How many hours of a month do you think the Lord deserves to gaze at you? Now, I want to ask you a question. You're gazing at God, but is that really the point? Are we always going to him to get something, or what do you think the Lord wants? I mean, you're fathers and mothers, and you have kids. I mean, what do you want when your kids are just running around, and they're just at peace, and they're not in tension. They're singing and playing, and they're just like, contrite. You're thinking, did you see that? Just a moment. Just happened for a moment. You feel connected. You belong. They belong. See, the independence in this world has disrupted the flow of the equality of God's goodness. We look at it as good, but we really haven't come to the point where we see the complete necessity yet. What I mean by necessity is, God enjoys me, and he can't wait to be alone with me. I go to God because I got all these things I need to settle. I need to get my head clear. God's like, well, okay, but I just want to hang out with you. So out of 720 hours a month, how many hours do you think God deserves? Is this again? Okay, if I preach a good message and you're all happy about that and you leave not offended, I probably didn't do my job. Because I'm going to offend some people right now. And here it is. I figured this out. If I give God only my basic 10% of my 720 hours, that's only 2.4 hours a day. to give to God. And that's only 10%. That's not even getting into the love offering. That's just the baseline. So God can gaze at me 10% of the time. 10% of the time I'm letting God gaze at me. He's watching me go around wandering and running and doing everything else. Are you busy? I mean, are you really busy? Is this world busy? Do you have a million things to do and everywhere to be? I mean, I'm busy. I got stuff coming at me all the time. But what you sell is you sell off everything that becomes a distraction, and you start eliminating things that are totally unnecessary because you know what they're doing? They're just clamoring for your attention. And intimacy is found in intentional meeting. If my wife only saw me 10% of the time, she'd be thinking, what's your name? We're together 24, you know, I mean, if I'm gone 6 hours a day, 22 hours a day, okay, 20 hours a day, 18 hours a day. Okay, here it is, Revelation. You're married to Jesus. He's teaching me that it's okay to come to the Lord and not have a feeling. I just want to get fixed, okay? Can I just get fixed? I just want to fix it. I'm tired of carrying around this stress bucket, right, in my bag of stuff. Because, like, you know, and the reality here is what I'm finding out is that I'm playing into my old nature. I'm not really living in the new man. Because the old nature is the thing that contends against God. If I'm contending against God because I feel horrible about myself, then I'm still playing into the hands of the old nature. The reality is my new nature in Christ, how he sees the Son is how he sees me. I need to be understanding that I'm coming to God with value. You know why? It's true. When I don't feel value, I wander. And then when I wander, I sin. And this is the definition of self-control. I'm too busy being valued to worry about sin. That's new to me. And I would say that I'm a son that understands value. But there are moments that the Lord has drawn you out into great things and you're like feeling his presence. All of a sudden you turn around and it's like, well, where did he go? I thought we had this thing going on. I thought this was good. It's like you fall in love, all of a sudden that ain't there the next day. And the mystery is that I need a revelation and an understanding that he himself never changes toward me. He's led me to a place I am now in his kindness, and he will never leave me or forsake me. So in the midst of that tension, he's like, what choice are you going to make when I'm not standing there beckoning you? Do you understand how character is built? Character isn't built by your successes. Success is a result of understanding character. Failure is where character is built. Talk to the scientists, those guys were really bright way back when. I had to learn it the hard way, you know? But it's all for this one purpose. He delights in love. And it is a mess to get involved with love. I mean, it's a mess because you get your hearts wrapped around your family members. You fall in love over and over again. You think to yourself, I could never take care of you to the point to save you. But yet you love relentlessly, hopelessly, lovely, and love is still there in the midst of crisis and tragedy. And the reality is that God comes in that moment if we wait in the midst of destruction. That's the hope he's building in us. That he is the God of the living. But the eternal belonging of every individual, he is the Lord of the living. And the living is the living, whether we are in this body or not. Paul declared it. He says, if I go to be with the Lord, it is good. Because I'm never going to depart. He will never depart from me. And I don't like that plan. I don't like pain. I don't like separation. I don't like disruption, and I don't like destruction. So in my arguing with the Lord, you know, okay, I'm losing you here. Sorry, there it is. There's that clock, 12:05. Love is large, being passionate about life and relentlessly patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others with kindness. I got this picture when I was reading this, and it's the body that brings the coagulation of the blood cells. When you're injured, your blood cells rush to that area and cover it and protect it. That's how the body of Christ works. How you're showing love is when nothing becomes more important than the need that your brother has, whether he's celebrating or he's mourning. When you know you have something in your midst is when people abandon their own agenda to go help in the midst of a fire. Now, I don't think there's a more beautiful display of community than that. And I think you guys have a wonderful missional community here. We do. I feel a part of you, but a missional community being that we exalt the Lord, we bring his glory to the earth, he walks among us, we yield to him and to one another, and then we love greatly. I don't think there is a greater word than that. I'm looking for the thing that's really going to straighten me up. And the Lord's like, if you look past me, you won't find it. Look in the mirror. I'm all about making it personal. Look in the mirror. Really, seriously, you guys, go to your homes and look in the mirror and tell me what you see. Can you look in the mirror long enough to the point that you finally realize, okay, I like myself more than just getting ready to go somewhere. Love is a fortress where everyone feels protected rather than exposed. Love's persuasion is persistent. Love believes. Love never loses hope and always remains constant, even in contradiction. The quest for knowledge will be inappropriate when perfect love is grasped. All right, let's stand just for a minute. I'm going to declare something over you, then we're going to move on. I honestly believe that me being here is probably more for me than it is for you. And what I witnessed here earlier today and being among you all in worship and hearing the Lord brag about you, honestly, I felt really convicted in my soul, in my spirit. And it was a good thing. It was kind of like, this is what a family does when they contend, when they live together in unity. And my prayer is that in our time with the Lord, in our very minimum, to let him gaze at us and gaze at him, that you would see one another as the Lord sees you. Without perspective and the process of elimination, we can't truly see one another in the spirit until we've learned to see it as the Lord sees it. But it comes to a place where we have to surrender our opinions and our wounds and our objections to seeing as the Lord sees it. And I heard this phrase, it's time to be all in. When I don't understand my value, it's hard for me to be all in. When I don't understand the value of others, it's hard for me to be all in. I still want to retreat to my place of protection. And Jesus was the most vulnerable person there was. He laid it all on the line to die as us. To truly love, we have to allow ourselves to be in a vulnerable position with one another. And it's a sobering thought. And to be all in means no matter what I have or what I own is on the table to be negotiated. Acts 2:42, right? I love that scripture. They met together. They had everything in common. I'm paraphrasing. They sold their possessions. They gave to one that was needed. There is where the glory is, where something happened that disrupted their normal, traditional life. And they found a new way. I was thinking about this morning as I was praying, and the Lord said, I want to declare this scripture over you guys. And this is the this is what Haggai, in the second chapter, the Lord, it was the spirit of Zerubbabel, and it was the reality of Haggai understanding that the Lord was telling him that people had gone and done what they wanted. They kind of left the temple and went and built their own homes and were about their own lives. And this is not to point the finger at us and say we're out about doing our own things. But let this word be known among us that the Lord stirs us in the spirit of Zerubbabel to build his house. And the reality is we can't build this house until we build this house. This is the resting place of the Lord. And the truth is, as the Lord stirs the spirit of the high priest in us, Jesus, he moves us to a new place of saying yes to him, and everything is negotiable at that point. That means he has complete access to walk in and out of my heart on a liberal basis with joy and gladness as he separates me from my enemies. Truly, me, in my opinion, is the greatest enemy that I face. Do we really want to continue to stumble over who we are? If God has said, you are my diamond, you are my jewel, you're my beloved, you're the radiance of the earth, you're the one I've poured my glory into, you are the sound of love and worship in the earth. It's not to be argued with. So I pray, Lord, now that you would bring a new level of healing to us, that we would finally give up the stakes, the strongholds of doubt, of hatred, of our own selves, disappointments. Father, that we would wipe the slate clean, stand before the Lord. Behold, tell all the world, there is a high tower of love in Springfield, Illinois. And the Lord says, it is well with my soul. I am glad. These are my jewels, my emeralds. These are my diamonds. I've blown my winds and you've heard me. You've displayed my beauty and loved my little ones. You've endured contempt and accusation. You've stood as generals. You've fought the battle. No, the Lord says, I will blow upon you a new wind. Behold, in this hour, again, I will come upon you. I will bring you back so that I might move you forward into your future. I will reveal to you again the power of first love, the power of a consecrated heart. The Lord says, behold, I've driven a stake in the ground here and it cannot be moved. I fly my flag up and it's the kingdom flag. And the Lord says, I will raise up my generals. I will raise up my armies. My little ones will drink by the river and the waters will not be dirtied. Behold, I've given you worship as a tool. Bright, shining, glorious. The sound of liberty and deliverance is in the camp. I've conquered death. Behold, those who have gone before you join the great cloud of witnesses, and they are beholding my glory as you stand and contend for more beauty. I've delighted with you in everything that you had. The Lord says, I've seen your choices over and over again. Behold, I will come to you and make my home with you. John 14. This is the time, says the Lord, and I will not leave you as an orphan. I've come to you. I've made my home, it is well with me. I delight in you. I will bear up your burdens, and I will pour oil over your hearts. I will cause your shoes to be new and your cloaks to be warm. Behold, your houses will be full, your bank accounts rich. I will give you a new understanding of what it is to transfer wealth in my house. Behold, I will pour out more oil on you, and I will set it afire, and there will be no boundary between between men. There will not be fences built. There will be pathways of righteousness. There'll be pathways of family. There will be great gates destroyed because the Lord has come and made love the anchor. I will touch your minds, and I will give you an understanding of the new generation. This is the generation that inherits the Lord, a generation of new leadership. Behold, Jesus is the foundation. I'm toppling the kingdoms of men, declares the Lord, even in the church. Those who have sought themselves out, who have built their ministries on pride. It couldn't be seen by men, but behold, the Lord says, I will whisper to them and they will give up their ministries and come to me and serve me and pour their riches out on the poor. I will not lose one, declares the Lord, that is willing to drink from my cup, who will bow like Gideon and drink and be chosen. So I say to you, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, O you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I've covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, when we came out of bondage, the Lord says, I've covenanted to you. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. I've conquered your enemies, my words. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a short while I will shake the heavens and I will shake the earth. Behold, disruption will happen, sea and dry lands. I will shake the nations and they shall come to me, and the desire of the nations will be mine, and I will fill this temple with my glory, declares the Lord. And I will come and I will go, and I have made it my home, and behold, I have subdued your enemies and conquered them. The Lord declares, you will have an understanding that the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. This glory of the latter temple shall be not as great. This glory of this temple will be greater than that of the former, declares the Lord. And in this place I will bring great peace. And behold, I just heard the Lord say, many new converts are going to come into this house. Behold, there is a wave, the wind, the Lord declares, a wave coming. A wind will blow over the lost, and they will come to this house because it will be known in Springfield, this is the place to meet God. I'm toppling the nations of the church. I'm shaking the hierarchies of leadership. I'm sending out the notices right now. The trumpet has gone out, declares the Lord. This is the time. I'm putting my invitation again. Lay down your riches, O you who lead the church. For the Lord says, I am not angry, but this is the time, behold, that I raise up the family. They are the leadership of the future. It is my fathers, my mothers, my sons, my daughters, who have received the glory and the touch of union, who know the love of God and will not turn away from it, that will stay in the fight till we all come out celebrating. If one mourns, we all mourn with them. If another one celebrates, we celebrate with them. Behold, we move as the wind of the Lord moves. We will not leave one by the wayside in order to pursue another. The Lord says, we run as fast as our slowest member. We will not lose one child. There are flags. There's a remembrance. And I heard the Lord say when I came into the city, there's a purple heart. And it's in that dream. We bind ourselves in your heart. bind yourself to the covenant of the Lord. Father, we thank you now just for the power of the Spirit that you have foreseen and determined these things, Lord. That we are just like trying to see as you see. So, Father, I pray, continue to teach us to understand. I pray for every heart here that you will hear the whisper turn into a shout. That you hear the voice of the Lord, that would be the sweet sound of your lover calling to you. So, Father, we just pray now, remove the thorns and the stones. Bring up the rear guard with the faithful voice of the Father said, this is the way, walk in it. This is my child, my daughter, my son, whom I'm well pleased. We break down this shame of what we once were and embrace Jesus. We embrace our new nature, Jesus. As the Father looks at Jesus, so he sees us. Father, we ask, give us the revelation, the mystery of John 17, the oneness of Christ, Jesus with the Father, Jesus with us. We are being made one spirit, one mind, one baptism, one love. Amen. That's all I got. Thank you for having me. I love you guys, and look forward to getting to know more of you. Amen.
Two things. One, we just want to, if we got some ushers, maybe we can get a basket. We just want to honor and bless these guys who received an offering this morning. So we can probably do it. Whatever our ushers are, we could probably just get some baskets and just put them up here or by the door. I don't care which one. And you just make it out to the hop, and then we'll cut them a check. But yeah, we can put them put up here. And I know it's 12:20, but Timothy's available to pray for people. He just wanted me to let people know if you want to receive a prayer this morning. And there's a lot in there, but I'd encourage you. You know, we've got that recorded, right, Curtis? Okay, yeah, right on. Just double checking. You're the man. There's a lot of stuff said, a lot of stuff there that to sort out. And so, all right. I was going to say somebody come play the piano, but it's been put to rest, evidently. and but yeah, maybe it's been put through. I don't know. Just something up there. We can play. Maybe get some spoons out or something. Yeah. And we're gonna worship this set. So okay, Father, we love you, and God, we just thank you for Timothy. We thank you, God, for that which you brought forth today. And Lord, we just give us grace, Lord, just to process, Lord, just to chew on that which you've said and to revisit it and just see how it applies to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, that which hit our heart, Lord, just directly today, God, let us not cast it aside. And that, Lord, which came upon us and caused us to query and to wonder, let our hunger and our pursuit, God, discover the truth of what you're saying to us. And Lord, if it didn't apply, there's things that may or may not apply to me or someone else, God, in there. Lord, let us just recognize, Lord, that you have each for us, Lord, those things specifically are for us, both individually and corporately. And God, by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, we could sort those things out, Father, for your kingdom and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. So if you want to receive prayer this morning, you know, if in the event that we don't have, because I don't know, I don't see a worship. You're beautiful. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.